You're listening to the official Euro 2020 podcast in association with Qatar Airways.
And there's Kane! And England reach out! A vast national embrace!
Picked up here by Chiesa! Oh! Sensational in the semi-final!
Well, after 50 games, 140 goals and loads of drama, just two teams remain.
Yes, it's Italy against England in the Euro 2020 final. We can't wait.
So in this bonus preview podcast, we'll hear from Roberto Mancini, Gareth Southgate, Giorgio Chiellini and Harry Kane.
We'll talk the tactics and the key men with England legends Ashley Cole and Michael Owen, and we take you inside the Italy camp.
Greatness awaits, but will it be the Azzurri or the Three Lions? Welcome to the show presented by Qatar Airways. I'm Rob Daly and I'm joined by my regular co-host Chris Parrott. Chris, hello.
Hello, Rob.
And we've got our reporter Lindsay Hooper with us too.
Hello, both.
It's very exciting. We're going to preview the final today. Look, one game left at Euro 2020. I can't believe how quickly it's gone by. 60,000 set for the final on Sunday. Lindsay, we're excited for this one, aren't we?
We are. England, they've steadily grown throughout this tournament, being bold enough to top Group D, despite the prospect of facing France, Portugal, getting past the old foes of Germany in that last 16, turning it on in Rome against Ukraine, overcoming going a goal down to Denmark. And the fans, who I've spent a lot of time with in Trafalgar Square, they've developed the belief, the excitement, hysteria even. We've reached optimum levels, haven't we, as a nation for this one?
Yeah, they have. I think Italy had that pretty much from night one, though, Rob. Remember, they were the team that kicked it all off on Friday, the 11th of June, with that thumping win over Turkey. And from then on, I think they were many people's favourites, and they haven't really looked back. They undeniably came through the harder side of the draw to reach the final. And look, they haven't won it since 1968, the European Championship. Italy will be very confident heading into this final.
Yes, it has been quite an emotional journey for both of these sides.
Immobile, Insigne, three. They've got three, Italy, in a game in the finals of a European Championship.
Insigne now skips away from Tielemans, still going, sees the chance.
What a
goal. Takes the chance. Brilliant, brilliant from Insigne.
Stunning, absolutely stunning goal that.
Here he comes, and Ratu's missed the penalty. Italy very close.
And
I cannot describe my emotion by words. We fought until the end because we wanted to go through, and we did it. We're coming back here on the 11th of July, and we'll see.
To be honest with you, I always said to myself, if I come here, growing up 2 minutes down the road, like I know I've got to score here, and it was a great feeling to actually do it.
Sterling, sure, he's going to set up another one. He has done. Kane again. Harry Kane, and Kane again! Stop him if you can! Schmeichel, momentarily heroic!
Obviously, we know it's going to be a very tough game against Italy, but look, we've had a great tournament so far. A final at home. Yeah, what a feeling.
England will play Italy in the European Championship final on Sunday, and Wembley licks its lips.
Some great memories there from these teams' respective runs, and with the anthems too.
I'm pumped.
That is getting us in the mood. Well, let's get our first guest on. One of England's greatest ever defenders helps us kick off our preview. Ashley Cole joins us. Hello, Ashley.
Hi, everyone. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Look, you've got your place in the final on Sunday. First of all, how excited are you?
Oh, tremendously. I think, you know, as a player, not to be, you know, able to get anywhere near a final, you know, disappointing. But these boys have really, really deserved their place. So, you know, I'm trying to live in their spirit right now and wish them all the best on Sunday.
You were at Wembley, of course, on Wednesday. What was it like? Because, you know, from all those people who were at the game, they've been talking about it as one of their greatest memories in football.
100%. Me too. I think, you know, I was lucky enough to come to Wembley to watch England-Germany, which, again, unbelievable, emotional roller coaster. And this one, I think, topped it. I think the most special bit for me was, you know, watching the players celebrate after with their, you know, their families and with the fans. That was just a magical moment for me. But yeah, the fans all the way through this tournament, I feel, have deserved a lot of credit for really pushing England and believing in England that they can do it. So, you know, coming to Wembley hopefully on Sunday is going to top that. And hopefully the players can top that with an unbelievable performance as well.
And how impressed, Ashley, have you been with Gareth Southgate?
He's a pleasure. I've been on a lot of webinar calls with him, you know, prior to this tournament, and see how he works and his thought process around tactics or you know, player engagement and creating environment. I just totally see it now. So, you know, me seeing these players on the pitch and how they perform and how they conduct themselves, I think it's been excellent. And it's, you know, down to Gareth really, and Steve Holland as well, really creating that environment for these young players to thrive and have belief and you know, show no fear at times. So he deserves a lot of credit.
And they will be wanting to prepare now for this Italy match in full, Ashley. Just with that in mind and the Italy lineup, one of the players of the tournament was Spinazzola, but he's out. He's out for 6 months with an Achilles problem. But I wanted to get your thoughts on this because Emerson as a replacement clearly won't leave as much space. And I wondered whether it might have suited England better to face an Italy with Spinazzola in it.
Well, yeah, I think Spinazzola and Emerson will pose you different problems. Of course, Spinazzola, he's been a revelation in this tournament, but you know, his ability to drive inside and combine and really open up the pitch, you know, that would really cause England problems. Where now, you know, Emerson plays a little bit more from position. He likes to obviously play up and down the touchline instead of taking that inside position. So again, whether it's Kyle Walker playing right back or whoever it is, they've got a different problem now that they have to find a solution for. Would England be happier with Emerson or Spinazzola? I think they would probably rather Emerson, to be honest, because Emerson is going to find it difficult, I think, to get past a Kyle Walker. I think he defended brilliant in the tournament with, of course, the two holding midfielders getting around and covering. But yeah, it's going to be a fascinating game, whoever plays on that left-hand side.
Luke Shaw, on the England side of things, has been getting so much praise. Even Roberto Carlos, like yourself, a generational left-back, was praising him. It's part of the reason he's been given the nickname Shawberto Carlos. I don't know if you've... it's not, which isn't bad, I don't think. Look, how impressed have you been by him? Because, you know, there's fierce competition for that left-back spot.
Yeah, I think him personally, he'll be delighted with his performances. I think going into this tournament, if Chilwell would have played, I don't think, you know, there would have been any arguments. Also, I think Luke Shaw's had a fantastic 2 years, and of course this season he's been brilliant in club football, and so it's good to see him back now thriving and playing so well for England. Yeah, he's been a, you know, pivotal player in terms of him and Sterling down the left hand side. I think they've combined and connected so well. Again, having, you know, Maguire back there, I think that gives him also the license and confidence to go, because I think another player who's played tremendously well in this tournament. But yeah, I feel, you know, Luke Shaw will be key to, you know, England's success going into this last game and final. If England don't get Luke Shaw out, then at times they're going to be stifled, like I said, and find it difficult to get out when Italy do that high press.
And Ashley, you played in Italy, of course, with Roma for a bit. So you know all about their passion for football, right?
Yes, exactly. I saw it firsthand, and you know what it means to the Italian people. My girlfriend is also Italian, so we're not speaking.
That's dangerous this week.
We've already had an agreement with that. You know, it is what it is. But no, the love of football they have for their country, you can just tell, of course, from the players when they're doing the national anthem. You know, it's similar to England. It's not just about football. It is their religion. When I was at Roma, you would get, like, seriously hundreds of fans outside training every day. They used to say to me, you're not working today. He's like, young kids, you're not going to school today. They had to get an autograph, because that is, you know, their passion and their love. And you're going to see that emotion on Sunday. But hopefully, you know, England will win, because that will save me. Also, you know, I think in terms of the atmospheres, it's going to be incredible, because they are passionate. They'll be loud, and so will England.
Okay, Ashley, prediction. Who's winning this one?
I'm going to say England 2-1, but, you know, it's not going to be an easy one. They've got to really work for it. I just feel, you know, could it be written in the stars? Everything's aligned for us to do well. Coming back to Wembley, you know, with our own fans and with that emotion, I think we'll do it.
Enjoy it. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
No worries. Cheers.
Ashley Cole there, Wolf, from one of England's best ever defenders to one of Italy's best ever defenders, Giorgio Chiellini. The 36-year-old was asked how tough a task it will be to keep striker Harry Kane quiet.
It will be tough, extremely tough. I think Kane, let's just review a little bit, a player who has always been loved by the English fans. He's an all-round player, and I think he proved it again against Denmark. He knows how to play, and to play a defence-splitting pass for a teammate. He scores with his head, and both from long and close range. A truly complete player, who has improved a lot over the years. It will be a tough game. England is clearly not just Kane, because they have amazing players on both wings, and their substitutes could all be in the starting 11 and win this competition. Players like Jack Grealish, Jadon Sancho, Marcus Rashford, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Phil Foden, they're all on the bench, but they're top players, including Jordan Henderson, Liverpool's captain. A complete and quality squad. It will be a great match. None of us will be afraid, and both teams will have a lot of respect for each other, because we both have great qualities in every part of the pitch.
Well, interviewing Chiellini there was UEFA's Italy team reporter Paolo Menicucci, who's been with the group throughout the course of this tournament. Paolo, great to have you on the show as always.
Hello, everyone.
We heard Chiellini there joking with you and then getting serious. What kind of mood is he in Italy's leader ahead of the final?
As always, Chiellini is the nightmare of any press officer because they tell us 5 minutes and then the first question is going on for 5 minutes, just talking and talking, just the first question. And we finally end with a 20-minute conversation. He likes to talk. He's a great guy. And it was a very good open interview yesterday. And he talked a lot about, as you heard, Kane and the entire English squad. He really happy mood and he's enjoying every moment. Maybe it is the last chance for him to win a major international trophy, so he's enjoying it.
And speaking about Chiellini, Paolo, the most frightening sight, I think, for every England fan, it won't be what you expect. It won't be beating Belgium. I think it will be the sight of Chiellini at that coin toss before the penalties with Spain. His calm approach compared to Jordi Alba, I mean, that will have sent shivers down England fans' spines because he just oozes coolness. And I just wonder how infectious that is within the squad.
You are correct, because I think it's general attitude for this Italy squad, actually. Chiellini is probably the one that is trying to give his teammate this sense of calmness and enjoying every minute. But they are following him. Even the youngsters have seen Donnarumma before the penalties, really full of smiles and laughs. They don't seem to feel the pressure. I was talking to Mancini as well yesterday. I was asking him that if he this squad reminding him a bit of his Sampdoria squad, because they were like that as well, always trying to have fun. I remember when they colored their hair after winning the Scudetto. And he said yes. He said that it's exactly the spirit he wants from the team. The only thing that you can approach the final is go take the pitch and try to have fun. Obviously, you have to try to win, but the main objective is to go there and have fun. I think he likes to see this approach from this team, and this team is doing the best in this sense.
Well, let's hear from the Italy head coach now, Roberto Mancini, who was asked how this is different to a normal match.
Well, it's a bit different. Simply put, it's the Euro final. Getting here wasn't simple. So, it's definitely different, but we have to play in a very focused way, but also with joy, because it's a football match. And you can't play a football match tense and stressed. We need to go in with the right amount of pressure, and really trying to, once again, have fun, because that's the only way you can win a final.
33 games unbeaten for Italy, and in his 38 matches in charge, Mancini's side have only conceded more than one goal once. Every other game, clean sheets or one goal against. They've had this extraordinary defensive record. But it is the attacking element of this side that has caught the eye so much, Paolo. Is this a very modern Italy, the kind of image that they want to project to the world, do you think?
Yes, they never. If you see the numbers, you may think that this is a defensive side, but it's not. It's pretty the opposite, I would say. What I like the most of this side is their ability to mix styles. When they have the ball, they're always trying to attack, but when they understand that they need to defend and suffer together, they do it. If you watch the last 50 minutes against Belgium, it was it looked a bit like an old style Italian team, but they are ready, always ready to adapt to the moment of the game, and that's probably their main strength.
Chris, of course, you know, for England, it feels unusual to see them in a final because it's only their second ever major final, first in 55 years. But for the Italians, they are actually and have a pretty good record at reaching finals of competitions.
Yeah, so they haven't won Euro since the 60s, but this is their 10th major tournament final. And actually, the two nations have a similar population, so they have this extraordinary record. They have lost two finals at Euros since that win in 1968. 2000, absolutely heartbreakingly against the French in Rotterdam when they must have thought they'd won it. And of course, in 2012, which was equally tough to take.
And this is Fernando Torres, and Torres has pretty much ensured that Spain will be the European champions again. Here is Torres, and Torres has given it to Mata, and Spain now have four.
So, yeah, it was an extraordinary performance in Kiev in 2012. Paolo, I don't want to bring you down before this huge final, but what can you remember from that night 9 years ago?
I was there as a reporter as well. I remember that Italy arrived to the final completely without gas. Like, they were, like, tired. They had they defeated Germany and England and Germany in the quarterfinals and semifinals. They had a few injuries. Chiellini left the pitch after 20 minutes for an injury. It was really physical. They were not there anymore at the physical level.
And, of course, within that tournament, Paolo, there was the match with England, a victory for Italy on that occasion. Will there be any memories from
now
that?
Sorry to interrupt, but now is my time to give some pain to someone else. Like, remember the Pirlo on the penalty?
Feel free, Paolo.
Yeah, that's fine.
Feel free.
That's probably the crucial moment of the game, I think, because Italy, okay, not like England, but even Italy doesn't have a great record on penalties. But that Pirlo penalty gave confidence to the entire team. He went there. Chipped the goalkeeper and cool as ever, Pirlo. And everyone took courage from there. Like, and I think that was the decisive moment of the shutout.
And in that game, Andrea Pirlo not only scored that brilliant penalty, Chris, he was absolutely outstanding playing in that, you know, just sort of dictating play at that point, wasn't he? And it also made me think of Luka Modric doing the same to England in 2018. The analysis, if we remember off the back of those tournaments, is that England did not have that profile of player, and that's where they were coming up short quite often. And it sort of brings us nicely to the midfield battle here.
Yeah, I think so. I honestly think that Pirlo performance in 2012 was one of the great Euro performances, and it was apt that he finished it with that outrageous penalty. But I just wonder, Paolo, within Italy, are people looking at Barella, Verratti and Jorginho and thinking that is where perhaps we on paper are stronger than England in that central midfield area?
Yeah. That's, the midfield trio is the key of this national team. It's always been like that since Mancini arrived, because it was considered a difficult decision to take. In Italy, we always had our fighting midfielder like Gattuso or someone like that in midfield. The decision to go only with technically skilled midfielders was probably the biggest revolution Mancini has done with this team. And the results prove him right, because the trio is already one of these. Do you remember when we remember lineups of teams like by memory, the Barella, Jorginho, Verratti is now something like that kids in Italy repeat, like if it's a poem or something like that.
How do you see this one being played out? What's your prediction?
Predicting a final is always very, very difficult. Like, obviously, the England has the home advantage, but the spirit of this Italy side, like, I don't think there will be so much influence from fans and playing away. I think they will go there and take the pitch like with calm, and that could be the pressure could be on England instead, especially if Italy will take the lead. Like, I think it will be very, very important for Italy to go to take the lead in this game, like to take away all the enthusiasm from the fans and putting further pressure on England.
Well, Paolo, look, we've loved having you on the show throughout the course of this tournament. It's been so great to get you on so often. We wish you good luck for Sunday. Enjoy the final.
I will. I just hope not to hear Sweet Carolina after the game.
I can't promise that. Paolo, thank you very much.
Thank you all.
UEFA's Italy correspondent Paolo Minicucci there. Italy and England have met 27 times before, and it is Italy who more often have come out on top. 2014 World Cup, Chris, Mario Balotelli's winner.
Yeah, there's plenty of Italian victories, aren't there, throughout the history. And just like Paolo said then, I think this final is impossible to call. I'm genuinely not sure who would be considered the favourites going into it.
OK, well, lots more to come as we get the strikers' viewpoint, as we'll bring you Harry Kane and the Ballon d'Or winner, Michael Owen.
This is the official Euro 2020 podcast in association with Qatar Airways.
You are listening to the preview of the Euro 2020 final with Lindsay Hooper, Chris Parrott and myself, Rob Daly. Well, we heard Chiellini speak about him moments ago, and it's now time to hear from the man himself, England's captain, Harry Kane. He's scored 4 goals so far as he goes in search of the Golden Boot, and he's been looking ahead to the final.
Well, I mean, Golden Boots are always a bonus, and of course, if I end up winning that, it means I'll probably end up scoring 1 or 2 goals in the final, which is, gives our team a great chance of winning the whole thing, which is the ultimate goal and obviously all of our aims. So, yeah, look, if we end up winning it and I don't win a Golden Boot, I'm not going to be too fussed, if I'm totally honest. You know, as a striker, you want to help your team, and obviously scoring goals is a big part of that. So thankfully I've been able to do that so far in this tournament. And yeah, we go into Sunday with loads of confidence. So let's see what happens. It's going to be an amazing occasion for sure. Like I said, extremely proud to be leading the boys out in any game for England, no matter making history and getting to our first final. So, yeah, I mean, as the game gets closer, I'm sure the excitement and the nerves will kick in, and it's going to be a special day. But, of course, there's going to be a winner and a loser, so we've got to make sure we're on that winning side. We want it to be a special day for everyone, gone after the 90 minutes as well, after the 120 minutes. So, looking forward to it. I know all the boys are buzzing. I'm sure we'll all enjoy it for sure.
64 games for club and country this season, and he scored 39 goals, had all the assists in as well. He's had a tremendous campaign. Lindsay, Harry Kane, there will be so much focus on him. He did eventually get the ball in the net to take England to the final.
He did, and I've just assessed both teams, and I think this is the key player. And it could be the key player in the final, because Italy do not have a Harry Kane. They have an Insigne and Immobile, and they've had Chiesa, who's been brilliant throughout this tournament, but they haven't got the out-and-out goal scorer, the one that can actually just be and popping up at the right time in the box for the set pieces, for the tap-ins, for the penalties. So could Harry Kane, for this final, be the difference for England? I'm going to put that to both of you.
Quite possibly. I would also add in another thing, that Harry Kane very successfully, not through foul play, but is fouled a lot in and around the edge of the penalty area, out wide. It's a very good thing that happens when England lead, because Harry Kane gets fouled and that takes the pressure off them in terms of a defensive unit. But also with some of their set piece specialists like Mason Mount and like Kieran Trippier, I think it does give them lots of options to put the ball into the box. Now, from an Italian point of view, they will look at the fact that I think the greatest goal burden is on Harry Kane. And because I think they don't have that absolutely phenomenal world-class centre-forward, the goals come from everywhere. And that, I honestly believe, makes them perhaps even more dangerous, because anyone can pop up. And we've seen lots of players score more than one goal for Italy at Euro 2020. And I just wonder, Rob, if we might at some stage, I think Ciro Immobile will start. I wonder at one stage if he might think, Roberto Mancini, that he could play without an out-and-out centre forward.
Well, do you think it's important? I mean, we've seen Immobile come off, haven't we? Lindsay mentioned, obviously, that the last couple of games, he hasn't really been able to influence him. He played well in the group stage. Is it impossible? And we've seen, you know, crazy decisions from head coaches, more bold decisions, if you like, going into finals, that he doesn't even start with Immobile, that he plays, what, Insigne through the middle, Berardi and Chiesa have both had great tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, in my head, I think if Immobile doesn't play, it's more likely that Belotti comes in for the like-for-like replacement. But I just wonder, at some stage, if Mancini needs to change it, and this would only be if Italy are behind and he thinks this isn't working, whether he might have that fluid front three. And of course, we have seen Insigne in his career play in one of the most thrilling front threes for Napoli without an out-and-out centre-forward. So I think Mancini has that option.
Well, you heard Chiellini there talking about his skill sets. And we'll ask Michael Owen on this when he comes on the show about how he's going to deal with Chiellini and Peducci, because you don't want to really get in a physical battle with those two guys. We saw the way that Spain carved out their goal.
Yeah.
Really nice intricate play between Olmo and Morata. That got around. that pairing. In terms of the England attack, and Lindsay, we were talking there about the about whether Mancini could make a bold decision with his front three. What do we think Gareth Southgate's going to do here? Because we've even seen Jadon Sancho surprisingly start against Ukraine. There's Phil Foden, who hasn't really come back into the starting 11. Does Saka start again?
Well,
I mean,
it's a toss-up, I think. And I think it's incredible that we're not talking about Grealish or Foden as much. But it's a toss-up between Jadon Sancho, who can really use the width against, and I honestly think that might be the key against Italy, is attacking their fullbacks and using that to the full, versus a Saka performance whereby not only is he a threat going forward, but his tracking back ability is excellent.
So is it one of those two for you?
It's one of those two for me, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we have seen Gareth Southgate, one of the great qualities of him as a coach in this England team, ever since the latter stages of the World Cup 3 years ago, is that basically he changes his team almost every single week to have a specific plan for the opposition they are playing.
Well, he hasn't kept an unchanged 11, I think, since the 2018 World Cup, right?
That's not because he's chopping and changing and trying to find a best 11. That's because he looks at the opposition, he sees where their strengths are, and then he picks a team that he believes can beat them. And I just wonder, he often matches up. If a team plays three at the back, he'll go three at the back like he did against Germany. Now, I can't see that happening because Italy will play a back four. I wonder whether he will try and match them up in the centre of midfield.
Well, it seems like England manager Gareth Southgate has gone through a period of redemption in this tournament. He famously missed the penalty against Germany that saw England knocked out at Euro 96 in a shootout. And he's become the first manager since Sir Ralph Ramsey in 1966 to take England to a final in a major tournament.
The whole team, you've only got to see. I mean, I think Denmark have only lost four matches out of 30-odd. Italy's record is even better than that. They've been a top team for the last couple of years. We've followed their progress closely. They play with great energy. They play with great style. They're, as always, difficult to score goals against. So, you know, that without doubt, they deserve to be in the final. They've beaten two top teams to get there in Belgium and Spain. So it's the biggest possible test we could have with a day less to recover. Of course, it's wonderful to have that opportunity to take them on.
Gareth Southgate there, what a story, Lindsay. You know, a guy who was sort of hastily thrown into the job, really. You know, it wasn't really part of the long-term plan. He had been in the FA system. But for people outside of England, you know, we've been in England throughout the course of the tournament. He's the man at the moment, isn't he?
He is, and not just on the pitch, off it as well. What he says away from these England performances has really resonated with the nation. I think that's why there's been quite a calm collectiveness. There is obviously euphoria for everybody coming out of the pandemic across Europe. We've all wanted to see football fans back in stadiums, but I think he's embodied the whole of it with his messaging, the way that he's kept his players on track. And he's been bold and he's been brave with his decisions on the pitch as well. We saw in the last match against Denmark in the semi-final, he had no hesitation in taking Jack Grealish off for tactical reasons, to put an extra defender on. And I think it's having the courage of your convictions, and I think Gareth Southgate from the very beginning has shown that. He had question marks about his team selection for the first couple of matches in the group stages. There were fans clamouring for Jack Grealish to be included, and he didn't for those first couple. And now there's just complete trust. There's complete faith in this manager because he is not bowing to any pressure from anywhere and he's keeping his head.
And that's what makes it so interesting, I think. You know, this has been the end of a long period of building for England. When it comes to Italy, it's basically been a total rebuild in 3 years under Roberto Mancini because Italy weren't even at the 2018 World Cup in Russia, of course. We are really treating you on this preview podcast. And now we're going to be joined by England's fifth highest goalscorer of all time, and a Ballon d'Or winner, Michael Owen. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Hi guys. Exciting times, eh?
Certainly
very,
is.
Yeah.
We have to, given your goal record where you played, we have to start by talking about Harry Kane, right? Just how good has he been in this tournament and how key is he going to be in the final?
Well, I think everybody always knew how key he was going to be in the competition. Very surprising that he didn't score in the first two or three games or whatever it was. And even more surprising that a lot of people started doubting him and saying, oh, should we change and things like that. I mean, it's just incredible. It's inevitable that as soon as he gets one, he's then going to go on a scoring spree. That's just what happens. And anybody that thought he should have been rested or dropped or anything else like that, I mean, I just don't know what planet they're on. And there's a lot of people that thought it. But that's what centre-forward play is all about. It is a different animal. It's a bit like goalkeeping. It's just different rules for centre forwards and goalkeepers than the rest of the team. You can play well and you can do whatever you want, but if you don't score when you're the main man, then pressure comes. But you know, you need to be backed, you need to feel confident, and as soon as you score one, it all just flies in after that. And that's what's happened. I mean, he's played fine, he's had a solid tournament, he's not been our standout player at all, but he's so important to us. He is the main person. When we need a goal, he's the main person you think of.
And he's two goals away from your tally for England now, Michael, on 38. You got 40 yourself. He comes up against Chiellini and Bonucci. How does he deal with these two? Are they going to try and track him when he drops deep? What do you reckon?
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, the first thing you look at when you're talking about the centre-halves of Italy is their age. I mean, they're 70 years old between them. But it just doesn't seem to be a problem for them. They're that experience, that adapt in playing against all types of centre-forwards. I mean, Italy defenders have always been famous, haven't they, for many years. And these two are real, rugged, proper centre-halves, old-fashioned centre-halves. Listen, they're never going to get exposed. They don't bomb their full-backs forward so much and they won't leave that area in front of them vacant. So they'll never be truly exposed. They're too experienced for that. And Harry Kane's not. He's not the type of player that you think, oh, he's going to give those centre-halves a real run-around. He's going to outpace them, outstrength them, outdo. You know, he's not that type of person. You would actually be petrified about defending against the day before. I mean, but he's just so efficient. He's obviously a great finisher. I don't think it matters who Harry Kane plays against. You know, he's not going to literally sprint past people. He's not going to do a lot of things. But what he is an all-rounder that will constantly be a goal threat.
If I think back to your breakthrough with England, that thrilling tournament in France in 1998 when you were still a teenager, Bukayo Saka's not quite done what you did in that tournament, Michael, but he's emerged as a real key talent for England. How impressed have you been, and how hard is it to suddenly come from the international, not quite
he's
wilderness.
19 still, isn't he?
He's 19 to suddenly be now in the final of a European Championship.
Yeah, I mean, but you've got to remember that these players, they're not normal, are they? They're not off the shelf. They're proper top-class players, this England squad, and these elite footballers. You know, we all try to look at it and think, wow, Coy, I was 19 once. I would never have been able to do it. But, you know, these lads have been living the life since they were kids. They've just been absolute professionals since they were young and been thrust into playing in front of 70,000 people every week, you know, for years. Now, it's hard to compare them to what you normally expect from a 17-year-old. This is what he'll believe that he's been put on this earth to do. This is what he's trained for. This is what he is. Just normal. I mean, often people say to me, how did you do it when you were 18 in the World Cup? It was like, well, I don't know what you're trying to say. I mean, I was doing it every week for Liverpool. I mean, I was the golden boot winner when I was at Mercy. What do you expect me to do? So this is the norm for these people. They're just exceptionally talented people. And that's how it is. But he's done really well this tournament. I don't think people thought he would play as much as he has. Quite a surprise. Certainly was a surprise to me. But apparently he's trained really well. They love his attitude. He's not let anyone down when he's played. So, yeah, it's going to be a huge, huge day in the young life of that lad if he starts, which I probably expect he will.
Michael, I love getting into this kind of chat around analysis, but also, look, just as a fan, I saw you the other day wearing your, I think it was the World Cup 98 shirt, the iconic shirt with 20 on the back. You were sat with your nephews watching the game. Are you just loving this as an England fan right now?
Yeah, I do really, because I remember back to when I was a kid, and these competitions now, it's almost rekindling that feeling of when you're 10, 12, 14, 16 years of age. Because then I was sort of involved in five competitions myself, and it's such a different way of viewing it, playing it to obviously being a fan. So it's almost you reliving your youth again, which, you know, you almost, even though it's way better playing, of course, you actually miss being a fan at these times as well. You just think, oh my God, we're locked up. These lads haven't seen their family for a month or so. And I know in the World Cup in France 98, we didn't see our families for about 2 months. It was horrific. And sometimes you just wish, I want to go and be a fan. It looks much more fun. and that's, you know what it is as well.
Absolutely. Love that. Michael, I have to get your best player of the tournament so far for England. Who is it?
I wouldn't say we've had an absolute standout. A player that we're thinking, oh my word, we can't do without him. He's been... I mean, you go right from the back. I mean, goalkeeper's only letting one goal. I mean, it's astonishing because that's probably what everyone, and me included, thought was the weak link in our team was, are we going to be able to keep the ball out the net? That end, we'll score loads of goals, but are we going to... And it's been quite the opposite. We haven't been that free-flowing. Of course, we did knock four past Ukraine. But in many ways, it's been keeping the ball out that's been a real positive for us. I mean, John Stones has been a rock. Harry Maguire has been a rock, but obviously he didn't play in the first couple of games. Kyle Walker's very, very good. As I say, goalkeeper's played well. Wright and Phillips have done well. I mean, Sterling, I suppose, I mean, he's been brilliant. He scored some important goals early on. You look at even, you know, Gareth Southgate's bringing players off, never Sterling. He actually brought Grealish on and then brought him off ahead of bringing Sterling off the other day. It's quite astonishing, really, how much faith and belief that Gareth Southgate's got in Sterling and always has had, really. So Sterling scored some great goals and been really important. Of course, Harry Kane's coming into it now. So I really don't look at it and think, oh, he's been the standout player. I'd probably say Sterling if I had to pick, but I mean, they've all done really well.
I suppose that's the strength of the team, isn't it, actually, that it has been pretty evenly distributed, the quality through it. OK, Michael, finally, are England going to win?
You know, with a neutral head on, I didn't really fancy Italy at the start of the tournament, and I have been surprised at how good they are. I fancied England. I thought England, I'd had them. I had it down between France, Portugal and England at the start. I still think France are probably the best team in Europe, but Italy have been really impressive. It's going to be a hard game. We've had an easy passage. You can't get away from it. We've been very lucky with the draw. This is by far the hardest team we've played. But I do think we're the better team. I think we'll edge it. It could be tight. It could be... I mean, I think it'll probably be something like 1-1 in normal time, and we might win 2-1 in extra time, a bit like the semi-final, something like that. I do think we'll edge it. I do think it could go either way, of course.
Well, if that happens, it's going to be a very nervous night for everybody at Wembley. Michael Owen, thank you very much for joining us.
Cheers, guys.
Michael Owen there, he is going to be one of the 60-odd thousand at Wembley. Lucky, lucky man.
And what a player. So imagine him and Harry Kane as a pair. That wouldn't be bad, would it? Kane dropping deep, Owen making those runs.
Give him a chance. He absolutely knew he was going
to score. Should have said that to him. OK, well, now the fans have been brilliant throughout Euro 2020 across all 11 host cities in what has been such a difficult time for so many people. Lindsay, you've been at the UEFA Fan Parks in London for a sort of tournament. You've been having fun, right, with them?
Oh, so much fun, because it's not just been the matches, which have been incredible to soak in that atmosphere, the emotion, but they've had so much entertainment as well. I've seen some very talented individuals. There was one man who put his head in a balloon.
sorry,
you can't just let that one go.
Yeah, there was a man who put his head in a balloon and did a whole act on stage. It was different, I think is the
word.
That
sounds unusual.
It was different.
Does that mean he's talented or maybe...
Well, the way that he got out the balloon and then in full England kit was pretty impressive.
Oh, right,
but
okay,
he probably had to be there for that one. But seeing the fans over the course of the last couple of days coming in, there is a photo opportunity, and it's beautiful right in front of Tower Bridge, where there is a flag for, as we got to the semi-finals, each of the nations on the days that they happened. And of course, with the final ahead, there's an Italy flag and an England flag. And I just saw fans going from both sides to have their pictures taken together. So it's bringing strangers together as well.
That's great. And you caught up with some fans a little earlier. Let's hear how you got on.
I'm joined by Ahajan, who's an Italy fan, and Sam, who supports England. And ahead of the final, I've got you both together to just tell me what it is about each other's sides that you're dreading a little bit, fearing. What are the strengths? So I'll start with you, Ahajan. What do you think for England have been the key strengths for them this tournament?
Hello. England started not very good at this tournament, but they're gathering their team and playing well through the tournament. Especially the last three or four games are going to be very, very good. And I suppose the Southgate will develop new strategy for Italy, because Italy has the strongest defense in this tournament. And I suppose that Hurricane will be showing his hurricane attacks.
Okay, so it sounds like you think that they've gained in momentum a little bit as the tournament's gone on, and that Kane's going to be this main threat. How about you, Sam? From an England point of view, what have you made of Italy, their tournament and their key strengths?
Of course, we all know how strong their defence is, and they've showed it throughout the tournament. But for me, the two wingers, I'd say, Chiesa and Insigne, they are the players that I fear the most. Immobile, he's a lethal striker, but last couple of games he hasn't been himself really. So yeah, I'd say Chiesa, who I'm afraid of the most. But I think we can get it done. You know, there's momentum, as you said, and the team have gained a belief and a togetherness. So it's going to be a good game.
What do you think the score is going to be then? Tell me.
I think it will be 1-1 and penalties.
Yeah. All the way to penalties. Oh, yeah, Sam just took a big intake of breath when you said that.
Hopefully not. I think we can get it done in 90 minutes, but it'll be really tight. I'm saying 2-1, England.
Thank you both, and enjoy the final, won't you?
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Our very own Lindsay Hooper out with the fans. So at Wembley on Sunday night, will we be hearing something like this? So that is the Italian fans after their win over Spain. Or will we be hearing something more like this? Well, it has been one of the surprise hits of Euro 2020. For some reason, Neil Diamond, Sweet Caroline.
You're missing the best bit there. So good, so,
so good.
So good.
That's the bit where everyone chips in together. It has become, and even Neil Diamond himself has wished the England team the best of luck. So that takes us nicely to our predictions. We've put Michael Owen, Ashley Cole, poor old Paolo, all on the spot. Let's have a go. Chris?
I think it's going to be unbelievably nervy. And I think Italy are going to win. And I think this might go all the way to penalties.
Lindsay, I can't handle it.
I'm going to ask you in a minute.
I can't handle it.
Taking into consideration the clean sheets for England up until the last match and the undefeated nature of Italy, I think this is going to be so cagey. I think 0-0 at full time and England to win in extra time one goal to nil.
Rob?
Okay. I think
I can see your brain ticking round.
I fundamentally, I'll just break it down. I think Italy are the better team overall, but they're missing one of the most important players. I think England have been superb, and they have that Wembley crowd, and I think that just shades it for me. I think England are going to win on Sunday in the Euro 2020 final and become European champions for the very first time. What a tournament it's been, by the way, isn't it? It's been great.
It's been excellent. I have heard so many people from many different countries saying this is exactly what I needed this summer. And the football, I think, has been brilliant. I wondered whether it was going to be more of a defensive tournament after quite a long season and back-to-back seasons, really, because of what happened a year ago. But ever since Italy put 3 past Turkey on opening night, it hasn't been that case. It's been thrilling, and I think we have a perfect finale.
Lindsay, where are you for the final?
Trafalgar Square is where I will be, and I imagine getting home might be difficult.
I don't think it's going to be very easy. Okay, Lindsay, thank you very much for your company.
Thank you.
Chris.
We'll be here together.
I can't wait for it. Remember to listen to the Euro Show live just minutes after the final on Sunday. Just go to the official app or online at Euro2020.com. We'll also release our podcast shortly after. And if you subscribe, you'll get it as soon as it's available. We're looking forward to the final, and we hope you are too. Thank you very much for listening. See you on Sunday for Italy versus England in the Euro 2020 final.
Thanks for listening to the official Euro 2020 podcast in association with Qatar Airways.